facts.
Well, people of God, I invite you to stand if you are able as we read God's word. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Now it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to war against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, "The Arameans have encamped in Ephraim," his heart and the hearts of his people shook, as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. Then Yahweh said to Isaiah, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear-Yashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, 'Take care and be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted, because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands, on account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. Because Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrorize it, and make for ourselves a breach in its walls, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it." For thus says the Lord Yahweh, "It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, no longer a people. Now the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you will not believe, you surely shall not last." Then Yahweh spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from Yahweh your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test Yahweh." Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God as well? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. Yahweh will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, that is, the king of Assyria." Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please be seated. So Emmanuel, I imagine most, if not all, the people in here know what that means. God with us, or God is with us. Could be understood as well as God is for us. Simply Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, as we can see in this text, is either a blessing or a curse. Emmanuel is a blessing or a curse, and it depends on who I am trusting in. Because you see, Emmanuel, if God is with us, if he's imminently with us, as he is right now, he's in here with this congregation. God is with us, so is he a blessing or a curse to you? Because you see, when that holy, righteous, powerful God who created all things, who knows all things, who knows us very well, when he's right here, is that a blessing or is that a curse? So as we look at today's text, we see a man named Ahaz. He's the king of Judah. He's also a son of King David, much removed, but still he's in that line. So he's in that kingdom. But the thing about this king is he didn't do right in the sight of God. You'll find that in 2 Kings chapter 16, if you wanted to look at it. You don't have to. But in 2 Kings chapter 16, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And here's what God says about him. And he did not do what was right in the sight of Yahweh his God, as his father David had done. It's also in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, almost exactly the same thing. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of Yahweh, as his father David had done. So kids, I hope you kind of can see right now who Ahaz was. He's a bad king. Something simple to remember, right? Ahaz was a bad king. And so because of that, he was doing a lot of bad things. And those bad things was basically he's drawing the church, because that's what Israel was. It was God's assembly, his church, his congregation. And what Ahaz as the leader was doing was he was causing God's people to sin a lot. And so God was going to get his attention. And you can see that he really wasn't one that wanted to be told anything. But nevertheless, God is very merciful. He's especially merciful to his people. So God let Judah's enemies, because Ahaz is king of Judah, he let Judah's enemies come against Judah and against Ahaz. And why did he do that? Probably to get his attention, like I said. Because, you know, kids, when things are going well for you, you don't really think about God a lot, right? If things are going well, do you say, thank you, Lord, I'm really thankful, and I'm going to pray right now and say how thankful, and then later I'll do that too. And maybe I'll do it this evening and then tomorrow. Does that come to your mind when things are going well? Or do we only go to God when things aren't working and we go, oh, Lord, help me. I'm in a lot of trouble, or things aren't going great. And God knows that. And so that's why sometimes he brings these things on us, right? Because he knows we need to come to him. We need it. He doesn't need us to come to him. We need to come to him. And so he often does things like that. So this is what's going on here. God's sending the enemies of Judah to Judah. And kids, you know what's really interesting is this. One of those enemies is the 10 tribes of Israel. These are the brothers and sisters and cousins of Judah. But they've joined with the Syrians, the Arameans, to fight against Judah. And why would they do that? Because that coalition of Syrians and the 10 tribes, which is called Ephraim as shorthand, they joined so they could fight against the begins with an A. Assyrians. And these Assyrians were really tough people. And so that's why that coalition was formed. And that coalition was saying to Jotham, Ahaz's father, hey, why don't you join us? Together we can fight against these Assyrians and maybe we can survive. But you see, Jotham didn't want to do that. He's going to serve the Lord, and he said, I'm not going to join this thing. I'm going to trust the Lord. Then, unfortunately for Judah, Jotham dies. And so now they have Ahaz. And is Ahaz going to follow after his father? and trust the Lord who's brought them through all these things? Or is he going to join this coalition? And you know, the people of the coalition, Razin and the son of Remaliah, Pekah, that's his name. You know, they weren't sure. How's this going to work out? Because if Ahaz doesn't join us, now we've got a potential enemy behind us. So we're going to go forward and fight this way, but we might have an enemy behind us. Don't want to fight two wars. You know, Hitler learned that. So they don't want to do that either. So what King Pekah and King Razin decide is, we're going to go ahead and take out King Ahaz, and then we're going to replace him with someone that'll do what we say. So we'll have an ally. And all we've got to do is get rid of King Ahaz. But you see, there's a problem with that. Who is King Ahaz? Bad king? Sure. But he's also the king of Judah. He's the king. He's a son of David. So he's a king sitting on David's throne. He's sitting on David's throne. So who puts kings on David's throne and who takes them off? Does this little coalition do it? Or is God in charge of things? I think you all know the answer to that. So God's going to say to Ahaz, don't worry about it. He sends Isaiah to him because King Ahaz is scared. He sees what's about to happen. You can see it in verse 2. The Arameans have camped in Ephraim, and so his heart, that's King Ahaz, and the hearts of his people shook as the trees in the forest shake in the wind. So kids, have you ever, I know it gets windy here, have you ever seen how windy it gets? And you see those trees shaking, right? Have you ever seen people so scared they're kind of doing that too? That's the picture. That's how scared they are. But Ahaz, you know, he probably puts up a brave front, right? He's so chicken, his knees are shaking, but on the top, he's looking pretty cool. But God knows. And so he sends Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, to give comfort to Ahaz, as well as to give a prophecy. So he sends them. And Isaiah, and he tells Isaiah to tell the king this. And he quotes it here. Take care and be calm. Have no fear and do not be faint-hearted. Keep calm and press on. You guys have probably seen signs like that. Same idea before for they had a king or a queen of England. But take calm. God's saying, I'm with you. You're my people. I've chosen you even though you don't deserve it. So take care and be calm, have no fear, don't be faint-hearted. Why? Because these two stubs of smoldering firebrands. So kids, what's a stub of smoldering firebrand? So a lot of you go camping, I know that. So when you go camping, usually people start a fire unless, you know, the state says, well, you can't do that right now because we're in the midst of a big, bad fire season. Nevertheless, you get the idea. At a campfire, you have sticks, right? They're wood, and it's on fire. Well, some of it might be on the edge, or some kid might have taken it out and put it on the ground, hopefully in the sandy ground, and you've got something smoldering. It's a stick, but it's going out. It's no threat. That's what God is saying about these two kings, these two countries, these two armies that's about to come to Judah. He's saying, hey, these guys are like two little stubbed out things. Don't sweat it. Even though they're out to get you, because they are. God decides who sits on David's throne, is really what he's saying. God is faithful to his covenant with David. That's really what he's saying. God will save his people from his, as well as their, enemy. Do you have any enemies? If you're in Christ this morning, if you have any enemies, they're God's enemies as well. And that's what God is getting across. If you belong to the Lord, then your enemies, those that make you their enemies, Well, there happened to be God's enemies. That's how much God loves you, believer. That if you have an enemy, God says, it's my enemy too. That's how much he's on our side. That's how much God is Emmanuel to his people. God with us. He is with us if our faith is in him. So to further encourage Ahaz, Yahweh calls Ahaz to trust him. He says in verses 9 through 11. Now look how he says this. First, he gives him a warning, a heads up. If you will not believe, you surely will not last. So what's he saying to Ahaz? Look, I'm going to tell you something, and it's going to test your faith, but I want you to trust me. I want you to quit trusting yourself, because God already knows that Ahaz, in his mind, that he's going to join with these other two guys. God already knows that. But God is giving him an opportunity to turn from his disobedience. And so God says, kind of this warning, isn't it? If you will not believe, believe who? Believe me, says Yahweh. You surely will not last. And then Yahweh spoke to Ahaz, and he said, ask a sign for yourself from Yahweh your God. Now think about that for just a second. You probably might know some people, maybe you even thought yourself, Lord, give me a sign, right? Give me a sign of, because I've got this thing going on in my head. I have to make a decision. Give me a sign. And you know, sometimes we do silly things, right? Well, let me see. If when I walk through this door, the door with the automatic opening doesn't open, well, that means that girl I'm looking for will show up as soon as I go into the building. Now, you're probably thinking, that's probably the silliest thing I ever heard. Well, some people have done stuff like that. Or sillier, right? Want a sign from God. Well, here God is doing the opposite. He is giving a sign to this man who he knows doesn't trust in him. Such kindness from God. And he's saying, look, ask for a sign to prove that what I'm saying to you is really true, that it's really going to happen. Don't trust your circumstances. Don't trust your feelings. That's really what he's saying. Don't trust your circumstances. Don't trust your feelings. Trust me. I'm faithful. I am a sure thing. Ask a sign for yourself from Yahweh your God. What would you do, kids, if God came to you, if Jesus stood right here and said, ask for a sign for anything you want? Of course, he's not going to do it, but imagine in your mind. That's what Ahaz is given, this bad king. And so he goes on, make it as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Whatever you want, Ahaz. Whatever you want, ask for a sign. Make it as impossible as you can possibly think so I can make it happen and give you that surety that what I say is true and actually happens. And so what does Ahaz say? Thanks, Lord. I'm so thankful that you're with us, that you're with me, right? Is that what he says? He says, I will not ask, nor will I test Yahweh. Well, on one hand, that sounds pretty good, right? He's being very pious. Kids, he's trying to show God how much he follows the Lord, you know, how good he is. I will not ask, nor will I test Yahweh. It sounds a lot like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Where God says, you will not put Yahweh, your God, to the test. So he's saying, oh, you're tricking me, eh? So I'm not going to fall for this. And God's going, no, I'm deadly serious here. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. So really, what's Ahaz saying? I don't trust you. This is a setup. And so he kind of plays the, I may be scared, but I'm not going to let you know it. So he says, I'm not going to put you to the test. I know I shouldn't. Meanwhile, he's the same guy that's bringing in false worship, which he sure well knows that shouldn't be done either. In verse 13, this is a great verse. This is God talking right back to him. Hear now, O house of David, because that's how you address the king. It is too little, or is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God as well? So kids, what's he really saying? Three words. Gimme a break. Just how stupid do you think I am? I'm God. Remember, you're talking to God. This is a nicer way of saying it, right? But it's great. Is it too little for you to weary men? In other words, so you do this, you talk like this all the time, and even human beings get tired of it, because we know we're not that dumb. But then you're going to try it on God, that you weary my God as well. Because obviously he's talking to Isaiah, but Isaiah is speaking for God. He's the prophet. So you see what's going on here. There's this game going on that Ahaz is doing, but God is deadly serious. He calls him on it, and then he says, okay, look, you're not going to ask. I'm going to give you one anyway, because I am faithful. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. He's going to give him a sign, a prophecy. And here it is. Verses 14 through 16. And think of it this way. It's those verses, not just the verse you all are probably thinking about because it's close to Christmas. Behold, a young woman will be with child and bear a son. And she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. So really, what's God saying? There's a time schedule here, and I'm giving you it. And what it means is at some point in the near future, these two guys that are about to attack you, they're going to be gone. Like, totally gone. For instance, Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, 65 years later, they're gone. Now, you're probably thinking, you Bible scholars, wait a minute, their king, he left, he died, and nobody was replaced. Maybe what, 10, 15 years after this? That's certainly not 65 years. But you see, there were still people in the land. And then what happened was the Assyrians finally did come. And they wiped them all out. They sent them all off to here and there, wherever the Assyrians felt. And then they brought in other people into what we call the 10 tribes region. Samaria. And that's why even now, you know, Jews don't like Samaritans, because they say, well, you guys are just mixed. You're Hapa. You don't mean anything. You were brought in. And so God's saying, look, this is going to happen. And so what's happening here is, here's your sign. And it's kind of obscure, but you really don't deserve a really clear one anyway. Here it is. A young woman. Now, in many of our translations, it does say virgin. But that actual word in both Hebrew and the Greek translation, it can mean a woman that is a virgin, but it also means a young woman. Oftentimes, young women are virgins. And so that's the idea here. A young woman will have a child. You're going like, well, duh, right? Young women do have children. That's no big surprise. But he's going on. And then when her son is old enough, when he's weaned, after a few years, then what's going to happen is these two enemies of yours, and therefore my enemies, I'm going to wipe them out. That's the promise. That's the prophecy. This is to prove to Ahaz that what God says will happen. And guess what? This prophecy came to pass. The enemies of God were wiped out when God's people needed it. So what God did was he fought against his and his people's enemies, and he proved that he is Emmanuel, God with us, God on our side. If your faith is in Christ this morning, that's the same God. If your faith is in Christ this morning, he is on your side. Not because you deserve it, not because you're any better than Ahaz, but because he chose to love you in Christ. So after a few years after the birth of this child, then, God completes his promise of salvation to Ahaz. Because really, kids, think of it this way. He saved Ahaz from these two guys and their armies. He saved them from them. God had promised salvation to Ahaz, and he provided it. Now, what kind of salvation? An earthly salvation, a temporary salvation. Because after a while, you know, Judah does get sent off too. But God is showing in this instance, in this time, to a man who doesn't deserve it, that he will save when he says he will. And so, when you look at verse 17, you're going, wow. Yahweh will bring on you, on your people. So he's talking now to Ahaz. And on your father's house, such days have never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. We could say it slightly different so it's a little bit more understandable. Yahweh will bring on you the king of Assyria. And those days will be such that nobody's ever seen it before. It's that bad. And of course, what he's talking about is the exile. Because of Ahaz's continued unfaithfulness, God gives him this verse. He says, I'm showing you my faithfulness with this temporary save. But you continue on, you're going to get what you wanted. You're going to get the Assyrians. Because you see, at this time, Ahaz was talking with the Assyrian king and going, hey, if you help me, if you save me from these two guys, then I'll be your vassal. I'll be your servant. My people will be servants to your people. And that's what King Ahaz was planning. And God said, you know what? Keep it up. I'll let you have what you want. Now we could end there, except, as you all know, there is more to it. So about 700 years later, God fulfills the Emmanuel prophecy. What is that prophecy? That God will save his own, right? That's really what you see. God with us. God is with us. Well, he's with us if we trust him. He will save his own, is what he's saying. So God fulfills this Emmanuel prophecy about 700 years after what happened here with Ahaz. And we see it this way. And you all know what I'm about to read, right, out of Matthew? I'm going to do it anyway. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew 1, verse 23. Which I'm sure most of these kids here have already memorized. But you probably noticed that word about the woman too. It's not young woman, it is actually virgin. Yeah, that's what the word means here, virgin. Before, in the previous situation, God is saying, look, a young woman. He's giving him this idea that there's going to be a time when I will show you that I'm going to save you from these two guys. But now, he's showing here in this time that he has sent a full salvation, a full God with us person, someone who is immaculately conceived. When God's chosen virgin, because that's who Mary was, miraculously conceives and bears the Son of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, that child, who we know as Jesus, Christ Jesus, is the ultimate and true sign that God is with his people. People, by the way, whose trust and faith is in him, for he will save them from their sins. You know, the prophecy that God gave to Ahaz was, I'm going to save you from these two guys. But the fullness that God gives to those that are trusting in him is, I will save you from your sins. I will save you from what your sins deserve. I will save you from my wrath that you richly deserve by putting it on Emmanuel, God with us. And so, about 33 years after the full Emmanuel prophecy was fulfilled, then Christ Jesus finished the work of salvation for you and me, believer. That work in which he lived perfectly and he died sinlessly. It was an unfair death. And he suffered under death for days, and then he rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is his Spirit, because he is God. And he rose again, and then he ascended. And he's right now, the Lord Jesus, the God-man, is seated at the right hand of power, at the right hand of God. He really is. And he's coming again to bring us home, fully home, so that God with us, Emmanuel, will actually have the fullness of him. We will see him with our own resurrected eyes, and we will see him. We will touch him. He will touch us physically, really, because that's who he is. Emmanuel, God with us, God for us. That's who Jesus is. As I said at the beginning, the sign of God with us is both blessing and curse, and it depends on who are you trusting in. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God definitely is with you and is for you. But if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus, if you're kind of like Ahaz, where you're trusting in all kinds of things, maybe if I do this, maybe if I team up with somebody else, this can happen. Maybe if I pray to this God or that God, maybe if I give a lot of money to this or that charity. No. You can't buy your way. You can't work your way. You can't team up your way to heaven. It's only by faith in Emmanuel. But if he is not your Emmanuel, if he's not the one you trust in, then as God told Ahaz, if you will not believe, you surely will not last. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the true Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus, the one who is our surety, the one who has united us to himself and therefore to God. And we thank you that even now we are your people, and that we who trust in you, you are our Emmanuel, God with us. You are God for us, and you've demonstrated it in your Son. Help us then to live that reality, to always think in our mind, Lord, no matter what the circumstances in this life, no matter what you put us through in this life, you are for us. You are with us because we are united to your Son whom you love, and therefore you love us. And if there are any here, Lord, we pray your mercy upon them, that this word would not ping off their head like it did off Ahaz, but instead that you, Holy Spirit, would show your mercy and pour out understanding and faith to them, that even today might be the day of salvation for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.